November the 29th. This is a special meeting of the Finance Committee. Present at the start of the meeting is Alderman Rice, Alderman Lappin, Alderman Fuller, Alderman Salvucci, and we are extremely pleased to have Alderman Capone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the only item on the agenda is 401-12. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $121,063 from the Stormwater Management Fund surplus for the sediment removal and maintenance of the City Hall pond. We had originally approved, I believe it was $322,000 earlier in the year, and we learned in public facilities last night that, and we got a series, I don't know if it's attached, but we got a series of the four bids that came in, and the city is planning on going forward with the lowest bid. But the lowest bid was in the $400,000 plus range, which requires this additional appropriation. So Maureen, do you want to, oh, there you are, David.
Thank you, yes.
Does anybody have the bids?
I've got another copy if anybody wants it. To be honest, when we had originally had an estimate for this, we thought it was going to come in around $450,000. We were hoping that by bidding it in the wintertime, we'd get a better price, and looking at some of our other bids. But unfortunately, the prices came in high. Almost half of that cost is just disposal costs, and there was just no movement on any of the disposal costs. So the bids came in $100,000 or so more than we expected. We actually held it for a while, trying to look at our options. Could we do it without the disposal, just keep the material on site and haul it away in later fiscal years and spread out the cost? But DEP wanted a commitment from us that we were going to take it to an approved landfill in a relatively short order of time. They wouldn't give us an unlimited extension. So in order to go ahead with the project, we didn't feel there was any other option but to go ahead and ask for the extra money and do it just as bid for the $440,000. So that's what we're asking for. This is last time we did a full-blown project. I think this was 1992. We'd actually done it about maybe 7 years ago. I know the question. We did it in-house. Didn't have a contractor. We had our little excavator in there that was just kind of sloshing around. We got to one pond, didn't have a lot of production there, didn't get to the other two, and I'm not sure how much stuff we really got out of there. We just didn't have the right equipment, and we got out of there. And so we kind of stopped and said, well, that didn't work too well. We're not sure how we're going to proceed, which is why we haven't really had a good maintenance program since then. Since that time, there are methodologies where you get a backer with a long tube and you get stuck out right by the culvert. So we think going forward, if we can be more proactive on a routine basis, you know, we can prevent having to come for this scope of a project. We'll probably still have to come back every 10 years or so for a smaller one with contractors, but we will try to do a more routine maintenance so we don't get there.
Shauna did look into, as we asked her to last night, into the history of this, and so she did call me today to say that it was 92, 93 when we last did a full-blown job on these ponds, and that there was an attempt some few years back to do it in-house. So, mm-hmm.
That also includes Bullows Pond at the time, right there.
In 92, yes.
Yeah, we did the whole thing. Now, this just includes in front of City Hall, right?
That's correct.
Bullows Pond is all right?
Well, yeah, we're not touching Bullows Pond.
But we have a gate now to prevent the silk and ship and stuff from going into... I'm sorry about that. The silk... Is that on tape?
Yeah.
No recordings in the room.
You don't swear in the committee of the chair, right?
I'm sorry, I just slipped out, for Christ.
We do have a gated City Hall pond.
So that the stuff doesn't carry through from one pond to the other.
Well, it's really more to control the level of the water for storm capacity so we could lower it if we're going to have a storm with a lot of water coming in. So we use that to adjust flow.
Remember, we put a new gate in and all that stuff over there?
Right.
So Bubbles Farm isn't full of junk.
Junk, no.
So, but I mean, this is a, I didn't think to ask this last night. It's a good line of questioning. So, with the problem that is out front here has not had a negative effect at Billows?
No.
It's not, the silt is not carrying on into Billows, or?
There is some that carries, but I don't think there's a significant amount of it. We haven't, we've done small surveys of it, but we haven't seen any significant sediment in Billows Pond. It's really the localized to the City Hall ponds that we see filling up.
Because when we did that major job at Billows, you almost could have walked on the water at Billows. It was that bad. Mm-hmm. And, when you just drive by it, it still looks as though it's
right,
relatively clean, and you don't see a lot of, junk there. So,
well, we also put in a couple other series of gabions inside the City Hall ponds, not just the gate at the end, but in between the three ponds we have, essentially. So we do capture it better throughout the City Hall ponds in each of those groups.
What about the library? You got a little stuff there that you have to clean out, too, don't you, once in a while?
Well, we did clean that brook out, I think, maybe 2 years ago, and that goes into the pond, but that's a small amount of the contribution to the City Hall ponds.
How does it build up? Where does it come from?
Just
it's got to come from the library down.
Right, or from the parking lot, anything that washes out in there. But most of the stuff you're getting is Cold Spring or Hammond Pond. So that's the material that's coming through the City Hall ponds. Those are the major sources. The brook at the library is really a very small contribution.
Are you talking about the drains that come through?
Yes, yes. They actually dump under Homer Street and into the City Hall pond.
Really?
So that's where that water is really coming from. That's
so it's street stuff that's going in there too.
But it's from Hammond Pond all the way down, and then Cold Springs Park all the way down. So there's quite a bit of landmass that's affected by those brooks.
Other questions? Yes.
Yes, I came in late, but just a couple of questions from what Sal was saying. The water in Newton Center Playground goes under the street and comes in here, I think. And there's a big catch basin at the end of that playground, which I've been there a lot, and it looks to me like it's in really bad condition, and I was wondering if anybody goes there routinely. I saw one guy there about 3 months ago to look at it and clean it out, and I asked him, because we come by here, sometimes. But it seems to me that a lot of stuff that gets into the City Hall ponds here probably goes through that little creek or whatever it is going through Newton Center Playground. So I would suggest maybe it'd be good to get somebody over there more often and just to see if it's capturing a lot of the stuff that's in there. There's a lot of junk in there.
Okay. I know we do check that during the heavy rains. It's one of the brooks that we check, but in terms of any watch, I'll look at that.
The other question I was going to ask is, at Bullows Pond, which I also go to a lot, so you look right sort of between them, it does seem to me that it's a lot cleaner than it used to be, but it seems to me also that there's some junk getting in there, and if Sal's right, that it's coming through there, it would make sense to try to clean that up better, because it's not, I'm wondering why it never freezes anymore. Maybe it's because of the weather, it's not cold enough, but it used to freeze all the time. Skate on.
Well,
those
ponds
skate on. Yeah. And so, when you cleaned it out in the 90s, it really made a huge difference. So it was cleaned out, and now it seems to be good, but I'm wondering if there's still some things flowing in there.
I don't know that offhand. I'm sure there is some. I think we can also do some cleaning of it, as I said, with the back door or something, just really in the original outlet there. But the body of the pond itself, we haven't seen any significant sediment.
Okay.
So it comes from all in places.
Yeah. Yes, John.
Parks and Rec is in charge of the grounds around these ponds, or is DPW in charge of all the area? I'm not sure who does what around
it. It's actually Parks and Rec responsible for the grounds.
And so the minute it turns into the banks of the water, then it comes to DPW?
Then it's Public Works.
Okay.
Ruthann?
This is an idea. I'd be curious about your reaction. If we're going to invest the $400,000 plus in this, $150,000, I would think it might be useful before I vote on that, to have a more detailed description of the annual maintenance that hasn't been done in the past, that should be done in the future, so that 10 years from now we have to make the smaller investment rather than the large investment. Mm-hmm. And that if we get that in writing before we vote on it, then we have the opportunity to check back in with you, let's say annually or every couple of years, and say, did you in fact put the manpower against this plan?
Okay.
So if that is a legitimate thing to ask.
What I'll do is I'll get copies of the operations maintenance plan to the Finance Committee. We did it last year. We updated a maintenance plan for those ponds. So.
Great. So you got the plan. Now it's just a question of double-checking with you occasionally to say, did you actually follow the plan?
Right.
So, but how does that plan, because I was always under the impression that the problem that we had was, for instance, all kinds of sand getting into across the street at the library, carrying over into the ponds in front of City Hall, and then eventually getting into Bullows, okay, mm-hmm. and causing a problem. But what I'm hearing tonight is, it's a greater problem in that it starts up at Hammond Pond.
Right.
So how do you deal with an issue that generates so far away, realistically?
Well,
is that in that plan?
Well, what this plan is saying that is, that's going to come into the City Hall ponds regardless. We really can't control that out at Cold Springs or at Hammond Pond. But right where it initially dumps into City Hall ponds, if we're more vigilant about cleaning out that first load, right by the two outfalls there, if we keep that clean and on a regular 2 or 3 year basis, vacuum out all the silt that builds up there, we can prevent that from going to the second pond and to the third pond. And
right. And so have you done any of that within the last year?
No.
We were just drafting the plan.
We were just drafting the plan, that's correct. And we were anticipating doing this major clean out.
So the other thing is that I probably would feel better about, the next time you come in here for money and you really know that it's going to be $450 versus $300, could you share that with us so that, you know, when it does come back, that we feel a little better about it? Because we're all getting very, very skittish mm-hmm. about estimates lately, starting with a couple of school buildings, this. You know, this is a substantial increase, and then, of course, you may have heard a rumor that we got a little blindsided by some construction costs on a fire station yesterday. So, if you know in advance that you're lowballing it, and for a particular reason, and that's fine, let us know. So when you come back, we understand that you may be coming back. Because you didn't share, I don't remember
that's
you,
fair enough.
I don't remember
did
you sharing that
I'm
with
sure
us when
not.
You were in here.
Yes.
Previous to cleaning Bullows Pond, we used to get in a heavy rain from Bullows Pond down towards the high school, mm-hmm. Hull Street, and then used to overrun Hull Street and wipe out the tennis courts. What's the potential for that to happen again?
I know that.
Now I know, at least at the, I remember we used to have guys standing cleaning out the grill there that plugs up, so that the water can't flow where it's supposed to when it goes up over the street and down into the tennis courts.
Right.
Have we seen that and have we prevented that?
We haven't seen that at all lately.
I mean, it could happen though where the tennis courts are located if the rain is heavy enough and that grill is blocked and the water starts overflowing over there.
We're much more vigilant about cleaning out
those grills.
Every
time we had a heavy rain, we used to send a guy over there.
We do that routinely. We start the day before. When we get the weather forecast, we start the day before cleaning out the brooks.
It was my understanding that as soon as we started the Newton North project, that they were very vigilant about that. Because I know exactly the spot you're talking about. Because, you know, we were putting those tennis courts.
We were wiping out tennis courts, yeah. But that's not going to happen, right? Okay. Because if you ever come back in here for money for tennis courts.
Cheryl.
The plan, which I haven't seen yet, mm-hmm. is that that going to require line items in your budget, or is this something?
No, but it's more of operational. We actually do have it in the CIP. We have it every 10 years at a smaller level. So for that intent, it is in the budget. But in terms of the periodic cleaning, I think we're going to have to see how much we get. If it's something we can handle in-house, if we could use our own vector to suck that out, then there shouldn't be much cost at all. If we do have to bring in a contractor in, we do have some money for contractual services, so it might be able to fall under that. If it's more than that, we'll have to look at it and maybe put a line item in there. But for right now, we're just looking at, there is a line for a larger one every 10 years.
So what you did 7 years ago that didn't work, we did that in-house?
Yes.
Was that maintenance?
Yes.
So did we learn that we can't do it?
Well, we learned we can't do it with that type of equipment.
So do we need new equipment? I'm just wondering how much maintenance is going to cost.
Well, again, if we do a different version where we're just sucking out right at the mouth of it, we might be able to do it with our vacuum machine, or have another one that's much simpler than bringing in excavators, pumping out and drying out that area and pushing the stuff around. That's where, even now, we looked at doing this job in-house, and we couldn't do it. We would have to hire all the equipment for it, and the cost to do it in-house was almost the same as contracting it out. So if we get to that point, yes, it's going to be very expensive with the equipment, but if we can do it every couple of years at a smaller level, I don't think there's going to be a huge cost for that.
And if we do it every couple of years, it won't be a significant, it won't need extra money in the budget?
That's what our hope is, yes. Okay.
So my hope is, timing is a little important, which is why we're taking this up tonight. So I'm hoping that we can get a motion. If people want to look at the plan and, you know, abstain or whatever, obviously that's fine. But if we could get a vote tonight so that we can get it to the full board, because it's my understanding that it's a little time sensitive, so you can get this thing done as early in the spring as possible.
Well, actually, the best time to do it in the wintertime, because there will be some smell associated with it, and to the extent we can do that while it's cold, everybody's got their windows closed, and we get in and out of there, so much the better.
That's why we're taking it up tonight. So at the appropriate time, hopefully somebody will make a motion. Any other questions?
I'll move it.
Ruth Ann?
I'll just see if I'm right in saying this, Dave, that these funds are coming from the Stormwater Management Fund surplus and really wipes out this surplus. Am I correct?
Well,
it draws it down.
We have $280,000 in there. This takes 120 leases with 160.
And just to repeat something that we probably all remember, we have quite a good assessment and plans for water and sewer. We don't have that for our stormwater system, and we really are desperate to find about $300,000 to $400,000 to do an assessment of our stormwater system. And I think that when the report comes back, we'll all have to be sitting down and taking a deep breath, because I think the numbers will be significant. It is likely that we'll need significant work and need a 20-year plan on how to go through it all. So
that definitely came up in public facilities last night. The desire for a assessment. So, and I think that Fred said it was he checked with a couple of consulting firms and he thought it was in the vicinity of $350,000.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I made it.
Alderman Salvucci has moved it. Other questions or discussion?
No,
yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I know the meeting was set. So I'm just going to understand this role because I missed part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. I know I'll probably be asked, and I realize that this is the City Hall funds of this. Has nothing to do with the library across the street, and also has nothing to do with Butler's Fund, because I do hear from a lot of residents there who think that it's around that time for another dredging. And I don't know whether this work in any form or effect will have any impact on that pond, but they have been raising that. So I just raised the question because they would want to know that. And secondly, would probably want to know if there are any plans into the future about heading in that direction and doing another dredging.
Okay, at this point, there aren't any plans for Bowles Pond. I think with the improvements we made the last time we did this work, in the City Hall ponds themselves, we've been able to capture more of that sediment there and prevent it from getting to Fuller's Pond. It doesn't mean in the future we won't have to do something there, but right now we don't see the buildup that would require any effort.
But I would say that in City Hall, if there's any effect from doing this work, it should be positive.
It should be positive, absolutely.
Okay. Ready to vote? All those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? Abstentions? 2 abstentions.
And it'd be great to get the copy of
Shauna,
and to everybody, and also that it goes in the minutes so that we actually have it.
Yeah, attach it to the report so it's for everybody, not just finance.
We can track it over
there. All right, we were scheduled to take up docket item 311-10 parens A. So we are, that was taken off of the agenda, and the reason for it is within just like the last few days, the city got updated estimates on the project. And without getting into a whole lot of detail, the initial numbers that the city received were substantially higher than the projected cost that we had been basing our plans on. So last night, Alderman Salvucci, Public Facilities, opened up the public hearing on the site plan, but did not close it. And specifically the reason that he did not close it is because the city needs to sit down with the estimator and needs to take a real hard look at, you know, why these numbers have changed and, you know, sort of revisit this whole thing. So it's going to slow down this process a little bit. But it's a necessary step. A potential outcome would be maybe redesigning the project, and so for that reason, they kept the public hearing open. So knowing all of that, it makes absolutely no sense for us to discuss it this evening. So I just want to give you the heads up as to why we're not taking it up. The city has a challenge ahead of it in terms of you know, revisiting all these numbers and having some discussions with the architect and the cost estimator. And we were told Alex, you know, the project manager from the building department, was hopeful that he would be back to Public Facilities in January, because we would like to, you know, keep the project moving. So that's why we're not taking this up tonight. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Could you give us a hint as to what the difference was in price?
You don't know.
It was 40%.
Well, I probably spoke a little bit. In terms of round numbers, the just construction now, let's not talk any of the soft costs, okay? The construction, the actual construction was originally projected and what we were working off to be $2.9 million. The numbers that they got back just 2 days ago, that number had risen to a little bit above $4 million. That's a lot of money. That's a big increase. And when we grilled the architect that was there last night a little bit, he was telling us that it was more than anything, it was supply and demand. Not so much, I'm sure an increase in materials had played a role, but it's his belief that it's, you know, supply and demand. But in fairness to everybody, you know, it just had come in, and nobody's had a chance to look at it, you know, very closely and sit down with the architect and the estimator and say, you know, you gave us these numbers about a year ago. You know, we need to understand why there's such a change. So it's, but the construction was up substantially. Yes.
From last night, I understood that we did the estimate or the feasibility study.
Well, we did the feasibility study, but we relied on the architect, that firm that was there last night.
The estimate. Right. The estimator.
Right. So that's why I was that's why I was asking the questions that they did discuss it with their estimator.
They said they had conversations.
Yeah, they had conversations. So they initially gave the city the numbers so that, you know, we could attach numbers to the project, okay? Then, and over the course of these last maybe 10 months, they then went back to Fogarty, and Fogarty has a very good reputation. They said it again last night, the architect, that they have a very good reputation. And so when they got the, you know, when they had Fogarty go in and do a little bit more detail work, that's where these high-end numbers came up. But they gave the original, the architect, that gentleman that was there last night, gave the original numbers to the building department upon which they have based all their information on and what they gave to us. And that's what I still don't understand, how there could be such a big gap.
Spread, yeah. Well, I think he indicated, too, that you know, these guys are not hungry anymore like they used to be, and there's plenty of contractors available for work, and they're getting their price.
So one of the things we asked them to do is to get this information to design review, for instance, because these are guys that are out in the field, you know, on a daily basis that should have some idea or feel for what's going on in the market. So hopefully they'll do that sooner rather than later. And as I said, the administration, they need the opportunity to go over this whole thing with them. All right, so that's why we're not taking it up, okay? Yes?
I was just saying another concern that came out of that meeting because of the estimate on 10. We have an estimate on 3, which is part of the override.
Yep.
And if this estimate was 40% higher, we don't know what the real, you know, why, but our concern was that Station 3 might be significantly higher. And so that was a question.
Well, I expect that that will be the focal point of a little lot of discussion in a few minutes. Because I'm more concerned about two large school buildings than I am about Station 3, to be honest with you.
If I may respond to that, I was fortunate to attend a meeting with Maureen and one of the architects. And what's that other?
One from Jocelyn Lusser. That was David Krawitz.
Yeah.
And then Ken Denisco.
Was Luxembourg there?
No.
But anyway, they indicated, we asked, I was concerned over the fact that there wasn't enough money coming in with the override for these projects. But they assured us that, myself and Maureen, that what they estimated, how they went about doing it, was to increase over the next period of years an escalation to cover the cost that's considered to be the cost for the construction.
This is just for Andrew?
No, this is for the whole for the whole override, because I didn't think the money for the override was enough. But they put us so much a foot, they estimate, which is, $495 a foot?
Well, we're gonna discuss this in...
Well, I just want to point that out.
I agree. I understand. I heard the same thing, and I appreciate it. But we'll discuss it tonight. Again, committee, I still am hopeful. Well, I am going to ask for a vote in finance. I don't know. I can't speak for Alderman Sangiolo, but I still believe that we're all better served. I know everybody has reservations, but we're all better served if we can get this voted and get it onto the ballot, and then we go from there. So I am going to ask for a vote so there's no surprise, okay? And then everybody can do what they feel is the right thing to do, obviously. All right, we're all set. We're adjourned. Thank you.